Hello and welcome to Abandoned on the Road, a guide to insurance in Montana. This guide is being provided to you by Faust Law Office. It is educational material and should be considered as such. I've also provided you a written copy of Abandoned on the Road, a guide to insurance law in Montana. Please review the disclaimer that we provided and is included in those materials. I have prepared this audiobook in an effort to allow you to review the materials in the comfort of your own vehicle or to listen to them rather than read them. The contents of this guide and the written material as well is not to be considered or construed as legal advice. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact Faust Law Office at 406-587-3720. Thank you for contacting our office, and we hope you enjoy this guide and find it educational. Abandoned on the Road, a Guide to Insurance Law in Montana by Lucas J. Faust, Section 1, Introduction. For the past 20 years, I have represented people in Montana who were injured in automobile crashes. Insurance adjusters have become more and more cutthroat in how they handle claims. One striking difference over 20 years is that insurance adjusters are becoming younger. As explained below, insurance carriers, especially nationwide insurance carriers, have developed a playbook or set of rules that their adjusters follow. Adjusters have become younger because younger adjusters have less life experience and are more willing to follow the playbook without question. In an effort to maximize profits, insurance companies are using increasingly aggressive tactics. This is particularly true for the big four insurance carriers: Allstate, State Farm, Farmers, and Progressive. These big four insurance carriers are all using the same methods for cutting down insurance claims. They model their practices after those of Allstate Insurance Company, an industry leader who puts profits ahead of people. In 1995, Allstate hired the McKinsey Group to review and overhaul its claims handling procedures. The McKinsey Group also provided the business plan for the now-defunct Enron Corporation. When dealing with any type of insurance company, it is important to understand that the representative is focused on the insurance carrier's interest and not yours. This is particularly true of automobile insurance carriers. Because approximately 80% of all payouts for automobile insurance claims involve values of $15,000 or less, adjusters are trained to minimize smaller claims. As you can imagine, a significant shift in the management of claims and a more aggressive playbook for cases involving damages of $15,000 or less, multiplied thousands of times, significantly impacts the insurance carrier's bottom line. Many tactics used by insurance companies are illegal in the states where they are used. However, as the McKinsey Group explained to Allstate when implementing its redesign of the claims handling procedures, an insurance carrier will always make more money than the amount it will be fined for breaking the law. This whatever it takes mentality is a common theme throughout the big four insurance carriers. Whether you hire my law firm or another law firm, or attempt to resolve your claim yourself, I would like you to know what you are up against. Insurance companies want to move your case forward as quickly as possible. Understand that although a statute of limitation applies, time is on your side. You do not have to do anything that makes you uncomfortable. Before you are placed in a bad position, there are some things you should know about the likes of the good neighbor, Good Hands People, Flo, the Geico Gecko, and Mayhem. Below are 10 things insurance carriers do not want you to know. Number 1. They train their adjusters to settle claims before you speak with a lawyer. In its assessment of Allstate's claims handling procedures, the McKinsey Group concluded that individuals who retain an attorney increase costs and claims at a rate of 3 times more than when a claim is settled without an attorney involved. To combat an increase in claims, Allstate and other big four insurance carriers discourage adjusters to attempt to settle claims before even encourage adjusters to attempt to settle claims before even conducting any significant investigation. Insurance companies actually provide a script for adjusters to read to claimants when the topic of a lawyer comes up. Previous scripts have gone so far as to encourage claims adjusters to create a friendly relationship with claimants. If you've ever felt as though the insurance adjuster was just a little bit phony during your conversation, you were right. Remember one thing, time is on your side. You do not have to file a claim while it is within Montana's 3-year bodily injury statute of limitation. Number two, they must follow the law. Sections 3318.201 and 3318.242 MCA are also known as Montana's Unfair Trade Practices Act, UTPA. The UTPA governs the conduct of insurance carriers in Montana and binds them to act in good faith when handling claims. These two statutes prevent insurance carriers from committing fraud, making misrepresentations, and settling one portion of your claim against another portion of your claim, to name just a few restrictions. In contrast, you as a claimant do not even have to be reasonable in your requests. However, being reasonable in your offer or proposal to settle your claim will give you more credibility when the adjuster evaluates your claim. As explained in the previous section, insurance carriers regularly break laws because it is good business to do so. Number three, they may have to pay medical bills before you settle with them. When liability is reasonably clear, an automobile insurance carrier must pay all reasonable medical bills related to the injuries sustained in an automobile collision. Insurance carriers must pay these bills without asking for a release when the following criteria are met. Number one, liability must be reasonably clear. This means the insurance company's policyholder must be clearly negligent. Number two, medical bills must be directly related to injuries sustained in the automobile collision. And number three, costs associated with the medical treatment must be reasonable in nature. You are in absolutely no rush to settle your claim while the insurance carrier continues to pay your medical bills on time. Montana law is clear that an insurance company is required to pay these medical bills before you settle your claim. Number four, they may have to pay lost wages before you settle with them. Automobile insurance companies must also pay for lost wages when liability is reasonably clear. As with medical bills, the insurance company must pay a reasonable amount of lost wages until the injured party is released to return back to work. The same criteria applies to lost wages, and a claimant must also establish an anticipated wage. The industry standard requires insurance companies to pay in a manner consistent with your employer's payment. If you receive a weekly check, the insurance company should issue a weekly check. If you receive a monthly check, the insurance carrier should provide a monthly check. Again, time is on your side. Your only time obligation is the 3-year statute of limitation for bodily injury claims in Montana. Number five, they assume the risk, not you. Insurance companies are happy to accept your premium. They are less excited about the possibility of paying out on your claim. The insurance company has the power and control in the arrangement. The insurance company drafted the policy, and they are in the regular business of providing insurance services. The insurance company assumes a risk that you would be involved in an automobile collision. They hire actuaries who assess the risk they assume. As with a casino, the odds are always in the insurance carrier's favor. You should never feel guilty about making a claim on a policy. Number six, they keep a stable of doctors who will say whatever they want them to say. In their never-ending efforts to maximize profits, insurance companies court physicians to provide medical opinions that are favorable to the insurance company. In Montana, a class action lawsuit has been brought against USAA Insurance Company for retaining physicians to review hundreds of cases and providing medical opinions that were fully favorable to the insurance company. These favorable opinions were reached by, quote, physicians, close quote, though physicians never saw the patient or even adequately reviewed the medical records. These opinions are a complete sham and a method for USAA to maximize profits. Number seven, they knew you would be in a crash before it happened. This may sound funny, but it is true. Insurance carriers hire actuaries who assess risk and potential exposure. Insurance companies know exactly how many automobile collisions occur in Montana and in your specific area prior to issuing your policy. As explained above, the odds are always in the insurance company's favor. Number eight, Insurance premiums cannot be increased for filing a claim when the crash is not your fault. One of the most common questions I get is whether a person's insurance premium will increase if they file a claim on their own policy. The answer is a resounding no. An insurance carrier may not increase your premiums for filing an insurance claim under the medical pay, underinsured motorist, or uninsured motorist portion of your policy. These policy provisions are based on no-fault situations. If you did nothing to cause the collision, the insurance carrier cannot increase your premiums. This is because, as explained above, insurance carriers hire actuaries and assume a known risk. Because you did nothing to cause the automobile collision, making a claim under these portions of your policy cannot be used against you when determining an appropriate premium after you make a claim. If you think of insurance as legalized gambling, this law makes complete sense. It would make no sense for a roulette dealer to force you to increase your bet after you won. As you can imagine, a casino is glad to take your money before you win just as much as it is after you win. The odds are always in the insurance company's favor, just like a casino. Number 9. They cut the bills for the attorneys they hire. It is an industry standard for insurance companies to cut or decrease their bills their own attorneys submit. Let's think about that for a minute. Either the attorney is lying about the time spent on the case, or the insurance company is cheating the attorney. In either situation, someone must be lying. If an insurance company will cut its own attorney's bills, what are they likely to do to your claim? Number 10. Insurance is no better or worse than gambling. I invite you to read the following article. It's contained in www.bbc.com/news/business-38905963. The author raises an excellent question. Why is insurance good but gambling is bad? Insurance companies are no different, no better, and no worse than casinos. The odds are always in their favor. The government requires you to play a game of chance. Insurance companies, like Allstate, are now paying as little as 40% of the funds they receive on claims. Insurance was created to benefit a community by spreading risk, not to allow companies to reap massive profits. Section 2, the insurance gauntlet. What you are up against can seem daunting. However, educating yourself on the types of insurance you purchase is a good first step toward taking control of your situation. You have an absolute right to understand what is going on in your case. An attorney who does not provide this information to you does not deserve you as a client. Laws change, and an attorney must stay current with the changes to best serve you. At the time this book is written, the statements and facts are accurate. However, the Montana legislature meets every 2 years and regularly changes the rules. Regardless of whether you hire an attorney, you should know important information about the insurance company you are dealing with. First, insurance companies are out for their interests, which are often in direct opposition to your interests. This is not to say that people who work at insurance companies are bad. To the contrary, I have found most to be very pleasant. However, insurance companies are not in the business of feeling sorry for you. They are in the business to make money. The adjuster managing your case handles dozens of other cases that also need to move to a conclusion. They have no time to feel sorry for you. You must also be organized. Before you read any further, stop and gather the following documents. Number 1, your health insurance card. Yes, your health insurance card. I will explain later. Number 2, any other cards related to how you receive medical treatment, i.e. Medicaid card, Medicare card, TRICARE card, etc. Number 3, the declaration sheet for your automobile insurance. This document comes with your insurance policy and lists the coverages you purchased. Number 4, a copy of your automobile insurance policy. Number 5, a copy of your disability policy. Number 6, copies of your pay stubs for the past 4 months. And number 7, a copy of the police report or incident report related to the incident that caused your injuries. Number 1, your insurance? A. Does my health insurance play a role in paying my medical bills? Yes, your health insurance plays a vital role in your automobile insurance claim. How you pay medical bills impacts whether there will be enough money for you and your family to achieve stable financial footing following an automobile crash. Your health insurance, Medicare, and/or Medicaid cards must be presented to all your health care providers. For reasons explained below, your health care providers will likely object to billing anyone other than your automobile insurance carrier. However, you have only a specific amount of insurance to pay for your bills, and your health insurance is a necessary tool for getting your family's financial situation on track. You must insist your health insurance carrier accept your health insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid. Healthcare providers in the United States use an incredibly complicated method for billing patients. Healthcare providers never expect to be paid the full amount they bill. Instead, they have agreements with health insurance carriers, Medicare and Medicaid, to accept payment for a fraction of the amount they bill. In contrast, a person paying cash or using automobile insurance for payment is billed an amount sometimes two or three times higher than the amount the healthcare provider will accept from Medicare, Medicaid, or a health insurance carrier. If you allow a health care provider to receive money directly from your or the negligent driver's automobile policies, you are losing money that is rightfully yours to keep. B. What is uninsured motorist coverage? Approximately 12% of motorists in Montana do not carry liability insurance coverage. If another driver slams into you and your family, there is a 1 out of 10 chance the motorist who struck you does not have any automobile insurance coverage, which is in violation of Montana law. When you purchase bodily injury coverage, you also purchased uninsured motorist UM coverage. UM coverage protects you and your family if you are in a collision with the 1 out of 10 drivers in this state who do not carry insurance. The amount of UM coverage may not exceed the amount of bodily injury coverage you purchased. Typically, the amount of bodily injury coverage you purchase is the same amount you carry for UM coverage. Most automobile insurance policies in Montana provide an exemption for underinsured motorist coverage if you use your UM coverage. If you are unfortunate enough to be hit by a driver who does not carry automobile insurance, you may be able to collect on the underinsured motorist coverage described below. It is important to remember that though you purchased UM coverage, your insurance company is not your friend when you make a claim. The entire claims process following an automobile collision is adversarial. Though you trusted your insurance company to cover you if you became involved in an automobile collision and the other motorist had no insurance, your insurance company is your adversary, not your friend. When you purchase automobile insurance, the amount of bodily injury coverage you purchase not only protects others, it protects you as well. Because insurance policies limit the amount of UM and UIM coverage to the amount of bodily injury coverage you purchase, the policy limit you purchase for the bodily injury coverage should reflect how much it would take to protect you and your family if you are in a collision with an uninsured motorist. Remember, if you are in a collision, there is a 1 in 10 chance that you will have to use UM insurance. Purchasing as much bodily injury coverage as you can afford is the only way to protect other motorists as well as your family. C. What is medical pay insurance coverage? When you purchased automobile insurance coverage, you were provided the opportunity to purchase medical pay insurance coverage, MedPay. Insurance carriers cannot increase your premium after you make a claim on your UM, UIM, or MedPay coverage. As explained in Section 1, it makes absolutely no sense for a casino to charge you more for your next wager just because you won last time. Similarly, it makes no sense for an insurance carrier to charge you more after you use no-fault coverage. MedPay covers medical bills incurred as the result of an automobile collision, regardless of who is at fault. If a motorist is drunk, crashes into a utility pole, and is treated at the hospital, MedPay will pay the medical bills up to the policy limit. I recommend that people purchase as much medical pay coverage as possible. MedPay should be used in addition to health insurance. MedPay coverage is often limited to $1,000, $5,000, or $10,000. These amounts often coincide with the cost of health insurance deductibles. You should purchase MedPay coverage for at least twice the amount of your health insurance deductible. D. What is underinsured motorist coverage? Under Montana law, a motorist is required to purchase only $25,000 of bodily injury coverage per person with a maximum of $50,000 per collision. When a person purchases an automobile insurance policy with these limits, it is the maximum amount of money the insurance company will pay regardless of the costs you or your family incur from injuries. It is extremely difficult to get any more money beyond the insurance limits from a negligent driver. If a judgment exceeds the negligent driver's net worth, the driver may file for bankruptcy, leaving you with little more than the minimum insurance limits. Because litigation is so expensive, it usually makes little sense to pursue the negligent driver for anything more than the insurance proceeds they purchased, even when those proceeds are mandatory minimum limits. Of all the products available in automobile insurance policy, the most valuable you can purchase is underinsured motorist coverage. The underinsured portion of an insurance policy provides for payment over and above the amount of the maximum amount available under the person's policy. Typically, you can purchase as much underinsured motorist coverage as bodily injury coverage. In other words, if you purchase a $100,000, $300,000 bodily injury policy, most insurance carriers will allow you to purchase a $100,000, $300,000 underinsured motorist policy. The most misunderstood term in the insurance industry may be, quote, full coverage, close quote. Most people believe they have purchased full coverage, but have not purchased underinsured motorist coverage. Underinsured motorist coverage can be the most valuable policy a family purchases as it truly provides peace of mind that medical bills and lost wages will be covered following a serious collision. The next time you talk with your insurance agent, I highly recommend that you purchase as much underinsured motorist coverage as possible. UIM is relatively inexpensive and is the best hedge your family has against a financial catastrophe. However, as I explained above, your insurance carrier may become every bit as adversarial when you want to use underinsured motorist coverage as they are defending against paying claimants for a collision where you were at fault. UIM coverage extends to wrongful death claims. We have the highest rate of drunk drivers in Montana and are, per capita, one of the deadliest places to drive in the United States. Montana differentiates between a wrongful death claim and a survivorship claim, making an insurance claim much more complicated than necessary. Under Montana law, a person must survive for an appreciable period of time for his or her family to be eligible to receive future damages. E. Can I make a claim on my disability policies? Someone who purchases a disability policy is 16 times more likely to qualify for benefits under the disability policy than his or her family will for a term life insurance policy. You may have heard of the Aflac Duck and Aflac's commercials concerning long-term disability. Aflac is just one of many companies selling disability policies. You may even have a disability policy coverage through your employer and not even know it. You may choose among many different types of long and short-term disability policies to purchase. It is important to understand that many disability policies require reimbursement. For this reason, it is vital that your attorney be fully aware of any disability policies you possess. In addition to the terms of the insurance agreement for a disability policy, that insurance policy may also fall under an area of the federal law called ERISA. For all of these reasons, it is critical that any attorney you hire be fully aware of any disability policy you purchased. F. What happens if I receive Medicare or Medicaid? Although Medicare and Medicaid sound familiar, the programs are vastly different. Medicare is a federal program. Medicaid is managed by state governments. The Department of Public Health and Human Services manages Montana's Medicaid program. Following the introduction of the Affordable Care Act, Medicaid significantly expanded to cover more Montanans. Individuals who earn as much as 3 or 4 times the poverty rate may qualify for Medicaid. You may now qualify for Medicaid and not realize it. If you are earning less than $75,000 a year, it is worth your while to contact Montana's Medicaid program to determine if you and your family qualify. Further, your children may qualify for the CHIPS program, even if you and your spouse do not qualify for Medicaid. Under Montana law, Medicaid may claim reimbursement for medical bills it paid for injuries sustained in an automobile collision. If you receive Medicaid benefits and any medical bills you incur as a result of an automobile collision are paid by Medicaid, Medicaid must be made aware of the automobile insurance claim so it can request reimbursement. It is extremely important that you submit all your medical bills to Medicaid if you are a Medicaid recipient. Medicaid will immediately take care of your bills, allowing you peace of mind. The amount of money that Medicare expects in reimbursement is significantly less than the amount of the bill. As I explained below, the bodily injury insurance of the driver who hit you is required to pay all your medical bills up front. If you have another method or means of paying these medical bills, the full amounts of the bills will be taken care of your potential automobile insurance claim. In short, as with health insurance, Medicaid recipients should submit all their medical bills to Medicaid for coverage. It is a waste for any Medicaid recipient to not submit all their bills to Medicaid. Like Medicaid, Medicare also has a right to reimbursement for a portion of the medical bills it pays related to an automobile collision. As with Medicaid, Medicare is willing to negotiate a settlement of the medical bills. For this reason, and for the reasons, and for the same reasons Medicaid recipients should submit their bills to Medicaid, all Medicare recipients should also submit all medical bills to Medicare. Because reimbursement may be required, Medicaid and Medicare recipients must not spend money received for medical bills until a settlement is reached with the governmental organization. Both Medicaid and Medicare are willing to reduce the reimbursement amount to a figure that considers attorney fees and other expenses. In my experience, Medicare and Medicaid are first and foremost happy they are notified of the potential for reimbursement. G. What if I make more than one... What if I have more than one vehicle insured? Under Montana law, if you and your family purchase automobile insurance policies for multiple vehicles for underinsured motorist coverage and pay a separate premium for each of those insurance policies, you may be entitled to stack insurance coverages on top of one another. For example, if you and your family own 5 vehicles, pay separate premiums for UIM coverage for all 5 vehicles, and have a 100-300 policy limit, you and your family may be entitled to 5 times the amount of coverage. If you think of insurance as a game of chance, the law makes complete sense. You and your family paid good money for separate insurance policies, and the insurance carrier agreed to accept the risk of having to pay on each and every one of those policies. Because the insurance company controls how much the policy is drafted and its how the policy is drafted and its terms, the insurance carrier is in the best position to evaluate risk and loss. Understanding how insurance policies interact with one another and how they may be stacked can become complicated, even for attorneys who have worked in the field for 15 or 20 years. For this reason, if you are receiving benefits under an underinsured motorist portion of a policy, your injuries are likely sufficiently serious to warrant hiring an attorney. I strongly encourage you to have an attorney evaluate your insurance policy. Recently, attorneys have attempted to stack bodily injury insurance policies just as they do underinsured motorist and MedPay policies. At the time of this book is written, a number of district court cases have ruled that bodily injury policies may be stacked. The Montana Supreme Court is yet to weigh in on this issue. Because the law is fluid and is subject to alternative interpretations, the accuracy of statements in this book may also change. Again, it is a good idea to contact counsel to discuss these issues in greater detail. Number 2, what about the other person's insurance policy? As explained above, approximately 12% of Montanans do not carry automobile insurance coverage. For those who do, bodily injury coverage is required. Bodily injury protects drivers from claims against them for injuries they may have caused. Simply put, when you purchase a policy, an insurance carrier agrees to pay any claims against you that might arise as a result of your operating a motor vehicle. It is important to understand that automobile insurance coverage in Montana is personal and portable. Personal and portable insurance coverage means that when motorists purchase automobile insurance, the coverage travels with the motorist even when they are not driving their own vehicles. Let's put it this way. If I am driving my crazy aunt's car, even though she forgot to pay her insurance premium, so long as I have insurance on my own vehicle, I am still protected by my insurance company. Although my crazy aunt may get a ticket for no insurance, I have insurance coverage. Letter A. What if my bills are more than the insurance policy limits? A policy limit is the most an insurance carrier is required to pay for claims made on that policy. Although an insurance company may pay less, it is under no obligation to pay more than the policy limit. It is also important to understand that, under Montana law, an insurance carrier may not require a release before paying policy limits. Most underinsured motorist policies require you to obtain permission to settle a case and sign a release. In other words, your carrier may require you to obtain permission before filing a claim for underinsured motorist coverage. Without permission, you may have waived your right to underinsured motorist coverage. In addition to the many reasons explained in this book, you should not sign a release before consulting with an attorney to understand the consequences.
B. When will my medical bills be paid?
Under Montana law, when liability is reasonably clear, an insurance carrier may be required to pay all medical bills prior to settling a case. The Montana Supreme Court recognizes that an insurance carrier's refusal or delay to pay medical bills can cause significant financial hardship on families. Allowing an insurance carrier to withhold payment until a settlement is reached creates a situation where the insurance company can and will leverage a car crash victim's family's needs to strong-arm a claimant into a settlement by withholding payment for medical bills. A car crash victim and the victim's family may have three remedies to pay for medical bills incurred as a result of a crash. 1. Health insurance or other method for payment of medical bills. 2. Medical pay insurance coverage, which may be stacked just like underinsured motorist coverage. And 3. The negligent motorist's insurance coverage. How these three methods of payments and remedies work together can become complicated. Medicare and Medicaid may have a right to reimburse, while Blue Cross Blue Shield has no such requirement. A plan may fall under the federal law known as ERISA, which has its own set of rules. C. How will my rent and other bills be paid? An automobile insurance carrier may be required to pay lost wages in addition to medical bills when liability is reasonably clear. The Montana Supreme Court recognizes that an insurance carrier can and will strong-arm a victim's family into a settlement by withholding payment for lost wages. As you can imagine, insurance carriers have developed a method for attacking claims for payments for lost wages and medical bills. Insurance carriers send claimants to a doctor of their choosing in an attempt to cut off medical and lost wage payments. These doctors are bought and paid for by the insurance company. Many doctors are little more than tools of the insurance carrier who are involved in violation of their Hippocratic Oath. Although there is not a Montana Supreme Court explaining how frequently payments for lost wages should be made, an insurance carrier usually pays compensation for lost wages at a rate of frequency that the injured claimant typically receives compensation. If you're paid on a monthly basis in your job, you will likely be paid on a monthly basis for your lost wage claim. If you're paid on a weekly or biweekly basis, the insurance carrier will typically pay your lost wages over that period of time. Number 3. What can I do to help my case? Under Montana law, a person bringing a claim is required to mitigate or reduce his or her damages as much as possible. Not only is this the law, it makes sense. No attorney can completely replace what you have lost from your injuries. It is critical that any injury victim returning to work and returning to make returning to work and returning to health their top priority. There is absolutely no excuse for missing medical appointments absent a true emergency. You must treat returning to work as your new full-time job. Contrary to popular belief, increasing your medical expenses has little or no impact on the amount of money you will receive in a settlement. In fact, I usually do not ask a jury to award the cost of medical expenses already incurred. Insurance companies no longer double or triple the medical bills when evaluating a bodily injury claim. Clients who follow physicians' orders and develop good plans for future recovery usually see much better results than those who miss appointments and feel sorry for themselves. In short, the money must do some amount of good before an insurance carrier settles with you or a jury awards an appropriate sum. A. When should I see a physician? It is often difficult to gauge how serious injuries are immediately after an automobile collision. In fact, it is common for an injured motorist to feel fine at first and then take a serious turn for the worse. There are a lot of reasons for this phenomena, not the least of which is that you probably had a lot of adrenaline right after the crash, or you were more concerned about the well-being of other people involved. Also, the extent of many injuries cannot be known for weeks. It is important to see a physician as soon as possible. Immediate diagnosis and treatment improves your chance of a fast recovery. Hoping the injury will go away on its own is a bad idea and may slow you down on your road to recovery. Whether your automobile collision caused soft tissue damage or broken bones, it is important that you fully understand the severity of your injuries prior to resolving your claim. The best way to do this is to speak with a medical doctor. There is no substitute for a licensed physician's confirmation that you fully understand the extent of your injuries. B. Can I see a chiropractor? Yes, you absolutely can see a chiropractor to improve your physical condition after an automobile collision. We are fortunate to have many excellent chiropractors in Gallatin County. Chiropractic treatment is an excellent way to help you get moving again and has proved beneficial for many people. If you are benefiting from chiropractic care, you do not let anyone, especially an insurance company, keep you from receiving care that is helpful for you. As I explained above, insurance companies maintain a stable of doctors who are paid to say whatever they want them to say. This is particularly true when it comes to chiropractic care. It is not uncommon for an insurance company to discontinue payment for chiropractic care after 12 sessions. Insurance carriers rely on dubious medical literature for limiting chiropractic treatment to 12 sessions. The most effective way to avoid being cut off from chiropractic care is to ask a medical doctor to prescribe this treatment. Most medical doctors will encourage you to continue with such treatment along with other modalities when you are seeing real improvement. Letter C. Will my physical therapy bills be paid? Bozeman is also fortunate to have excellent physical therapists who work with medical doctors to get you back on track. As with medical doctors and chiropractors, insurance companies have a stable of healthcare professionals who will say that your physical therapy treatment is excessive and should be stopped. Again, working with your treating physician to prescribe treatment that shows improvement is critical to your continued receipt of treatment. Keeping your physician in the loop and letting him or her know about the effectiveness or lack of effectiveness of your treatment is vital to your well-being. Like any other medical bill, physical therapy bills related to an automobile collision must be paid. D. When should I return to work? Returning to work as quickly as possible may help save your sanity. If, as a result of an automobile collision, you are not physically able to fulfill your job duties, you are entitled to lost wages under Montana law. However, your obligation to minimize your wage loss may include asking your employer for limited or lighter duty work while you heal. So long as your work activities do not make your injuries worse, you should ask your employer for an alternative job or assistance with your current job. Unnecessarily remaining off work does not help your case. In fact, it may be used against you. It is important to keep your treating physician involved in deciding to return to work. Knowing your limitations and abilities is critical to making a good decision about when to return to work. Number four, I do not want to say or do anything wrong. What should I do?
Insurance companies and their adjusters spend all day trying to find ways to keep their costs down. They may request 10 or as many as 20 years of past medical records. Do not sign a general release. A general release allows the insurance companies to go on a fishing expedition to drum up any information that might show a previous injury is causing your current problems. We recommend that your release be limited from the date of the collision forward. Insurance companies also blame you if you miss or reschedule an appointment. It is critical that you treat your medical treatment as a full-time job. This is important not only from a legal perspective, but also from a medical perspective. It makes no sense for a person who is injured to do anything other than help themselves heal as quickly as possible. Getting better is your new job, and you will succeed at it. Number 5, should I get my medical records? You have a right to your own medical records. The insurance company does not. It is important to keep your medical records related to an automobile collision in proper order. As I explained in the section above, healing and taking care of your medical condition is now your full-time job. Your medical records are typically available 7 to 10 days after a visit with a healthcare provider. Section 3, hiring a lawyer. Number 1, I think I want to hire a lawyer. Any tips? Hiring a lawyer can be scary. I grew up in a lucky household in that we never needed an attorney. I grew up in a blue-collar town. Most of my friends came from families where fathers worked in the lumber mill or the aluminum plant. We didn't socialize with attorneys. I never met an attorney until 1990, 3 years before I entered law school. Whether you hire my law firm or not, I am more than happy to provide insight into determining whether the attorney you are hiring is right for you and what you can expect to go through in the process of finding an attorney. I also explain likely issues and processes you may go through after you hire an attorney. This book, like any book I prepare, is not to be considered legal advice. The information contained in this book is educational. If you hire someone else, please do not use this book as a means to contradict your attorney. I want you to have a positive relationship with whomever you hire. I hope this book allows you to feel more comfortable in your decisions and helps answer questions you may have from the attorney you hire. The first two questions you should ask any attorney before hiring them are, 1, do you carry malpractice insurance? And 2, do you enjoy your job? If the answers are yes or some version of yes, you have a good starting point. An attorney who does not carry malpractice insurance is an accident waiting to happen. Unlike automobile insurance, professional liability insurance is not required in Montana. I personally believe both medical and legal malpractice insurance should be required, but I do not make the rules. Second, if an attorney enjoys their job, they are much more likely to do a good job for you. Working with someone who enjoys what they do truly makes the process easier. Finally, ask yourself this question: would I be willing to visit with this person for an hour without talking about my case? I have found that before I can trust a person, I must like the person. An attorney who cares enough to obtain professional liability insurance, enjoys his or her job, and is pleasant to be around will likely be a good fit for you and your family. The sections below provide a brief outline of what you can expect when you first visit with an attorney. One bit of advice: please set aside any expectations concerning what a law firm should look like. Some of the best attorneys I know work from home. In fact, you should be a little concerned if it appears your prospective attorney's office space is very expensive. Overwhelming overhead costs can cause attorneys to make rash decisions that do not necessarily benefit their clients. Finally, understand that the attorney you hire will likely be possessive of his or her time. Most attorneys have tight schedules and are protective of when and where they see you. Out of respect for your attorney, please schedule appointments to visit and do not show up unannounced. Number 2, what can I expect from my initial meeting? We've all seen the advertisements for a free consultation. While most attorneys provide a free consultation, in reality, the attorney is interviewing you as much as you are interviewing him or her. They are attempting to select a case that fits their practice. You probably do not want to hire an attorney who accepts everyone who walks in the door. At our office, we make it a point to send educational materials before we meet potential clients. I strongly encourage you to familiarize yourself with the materials we send. You are not expected to know everything in the book, but reviewing the materials will be helpful and make an initial discussion more fruitful. Number three, what should I bring? At our office, we have a checklist of information we need to help better understand your situation. If you have been involved in an automobile collision or other situation that caused you to be injured, we typically ask you to bring the following. Number one, your health insurance card. Number two, any other card related to how you receive medical treatment, i.e. Medicaid, Medicare, TRICARE, etc. Number three, the declaration sheet for your automobile insurance. This is the document that comes with your insurance policy and lists the coverages you purchased. Number four, a copy of your automobile insurance policy. Number five, copy of your disability policy. Number six, copies of your pay stubs for the past 4 months. Number seven, a copy of the police report or incident report related to the incident that caused your injuries. Number eight, please bring a friend or family member you trust and who was a positive influence on your life. Number nine, any photographs related to the incident. Number 10, any correspondence from an insurance company related to the incident. Number 11, any medical records you have related to the incident. Number 12, any other physical evidence you believe may be important. Number 4, how much is my case worth? One of the first questions I almost always receive from potential clients is, how much is my case worth? The short answer is, it depends. Too many variables can cause a case to increase or decrease in value to be able to assess the value of a case during an initial meeting. In my office, we complete a thorough review before deciding whether or not to take a case. The first question we ask is, does this person need an attorney? The answer is not always straightforward. If your claim is being handled properly by the insurance carrier, you may not need an attorney. An effective attorney may not look like you expect. The right attorney for you may be soft-spoken and may be young or old. You should feel comfortable with him or her. Ultimately, you may find that you do not need an attorney to get you through this situation. If you do hire an attorney, that attorney should bring you peace of mind that everything is being done to help you be in the best situation possible. Number five. What is a contingency fee agreement? The vast majority of Americans would be completely barred from accessing courts without the contingency fee agreement. Most of us do not have $20,000, $40,000, or $50,000 to hire an attorney. Almost all the personal injury cases I work on are on a contingency fee basis. A contingency fee is an agreement between an attorney and a client where the attorney receives a percentage of the money obtained on behalf of the client after the crash is resolved. A case is resolved. The attorney works for free until he or she obtains compensation for the client. In my office, we typically work on a 33 1/3% contingency fee basis. This amount does not increase or decrease regardless of how quickly a claim settles or whether it takes a long time for the case to resolve. Number six, what litigation costs can I expect? If you enter into a contingency fee agreement, not only does your attorney work for free, your attorney will also likely pay litigation costs up front. Litigation costs can run several thousand dollars during the course of a case. Setting up a file, taking depositions, hiring experts, and even postage can really add up. In my office, we typically charge a flat fee for setting up a file, document management, and photocopies. These costs typically run $400 to $500. Deposition costs can run hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars and are paid by my firm as the case proceeds. Litigation costs are incurred before any fee is received and are added to the fee that is paid at the conclusion of the case. After your attorney receives funds, he may request compensation or payment for fees and costs incurred to date. In my office, we prepare a settlement disbursement agreement anytime we charge a fee or cost to the client following receipt of funds on their behalf. In addition, we provide a ledger indicating that all funds received on their behalf and all the funds paid out. Unless there are outstanding expenses, the final amount of the ledger should be zero. Managing incoming and outgoing funds can be extremely difficult. At our firm, we rely on an accountant to complete this reconciliation for each account. Clients are always free to ask for an accounting at any time. Number 7, how can I help my lawyer? After you hire an attorney, your involvement in your case does not end. I regularly tell my clients, this is your case, not mine. Although your attorney may give you advice, anytime you are represented by counsel, the case is your case and not the attorney's case. Your attorney and his or her staff must be willing to answer your questions. Our firm provides educational material that answers many common questions clients ask. Your attorney likely has dozens of active cases at any given time. In addition, we have the same family obligations and commitments that pull our clients in many different directions. If you hire me, you can anticipate that I will be protective of my time. I set aside time during every week to visit with clients. Otherwise, I am unavailable for a discussion because I am working on your case and other cases. If I am unable to get back with you, you should not take it personally. Sometimes the best form of communication is through email, as it allows me to address your concern when I can fully focus on it. In sum, please do not take it personally if I am unable to answer your question immediately. Please schedule a time for a telephone appointment or send me an email, which I will attempt to answer as soon as I reasonably and possibly can. Please use this book as a guide to answer your questions. If your issue or question is not addressed, if your issue or your question is not addressed in this book or the other educational material sent by my office, please email or schedule a telephone appointment to discuss your question. I am guarded with my time by necessity and ask that you not take it personally if I must postpone our communication. Number 8, how can I help my claim? As explained above, this is your case. In exchange for my best effort, I always ask that clients give their best efforts. You must always be honest with me. Being honest requires that you neither embellish nor try to tough out physical problems associated with your injuries. You must show up for all of your doctor's appointments. The best measure of whether a medical appointment can be missed is whether you would miss work under the same circumstances. You cannot go wrong by always doing your best. A. Stay organized. You can help your case a great deal by simply staying organized. My office has a system for organizing your medical records and keeping them up to date. If you see a physician we are unaware of, please notify us. It may help you to keep a 3-ring binder containing your medical records and correspondence you have with my office and with the insurance carrier. Keeping your schedule and your life organized will help you get through the difficult process of recovering from your injuries. B. Improve yourself. If your injuries are serious enough to keep you from working, it is vital that you maximize the amount of physical activity you complete and stay busy mentally. It is common for people who've had their lives turned upside down to become depressed. Seeing a counselor and maintaining a regular social interaction is vital to keeping your sanity during this tumultuous time. Routine is also important. Your new routine should focus on improving your current circumstances with an end goal of improving your life. Read a book and spend time with your kids. If you attended church previously and can physically attend church, attend church. If you believe that you are going to get better, you will likely get better. If you believe that the injuries you sustained must make your life miserable, your life will be miserable. You may need some professional help dealing with depression or emotional strife that can follow a serious personal injury. Our office has access to excellent licensed clinical professional counselors. Whether you hire us or not, do not hesitate to contact our office if you're feeling down, depressed, or especially suicidal. There is help, and your life will get better. C. Limit your social media. When an insurance company receives your claim, the first thing they do is find your social media account. If you have a Twitter account or a Facebook page, your accounts will be found. If you are shown on the beach drinking beer, they will know. If you post images of yourself out hiking or having fun with friends after your injury, they will be used against you. I've had two jury trials where defense counsel introduced photographs of my client from Facebook. The defense can introduce these into evidence without telling me or my client that they possessed the photos in the first place. Shutting down your social media is absolutely critical and must be done immediately after an automobile collision, because the information contained in your social media can and will be manipulated. It is critical that you not discuss your case on social media. Contrary to popular belief, you have not won the litigation lottery. Your friends and families may believe otherwise. It is critical to keep the fact that you are involved in an insurance claim to yourself. Family members and friends may come to you with their hands out. To protect yourself, it is imperative to keep the status of your case to yourself, and should you receive any money, keep that information private. Anything you say about your case on social media will be manipulated and used to make you look bad. In complete contrast to having won the litigation lottery, it is likely you will not receive a financial windfall. The money you receive will likely be sent to other people in the form of payment for future medical treatment and other costs. As we all know, medical bills can climb rapidly. Giving money to your friends and family may prevent you from affording the treatment you require now and in the future to function properly. As well-intentioned as your family members may be, their recommendations concerning funds you may receive could be short-sighted. With any significant amount of funds, we almost invariably recommend a financial advisor for our clients. Again, my office is happy to refer individuals who can help manage your money and take care of you and your family in the long term. D. Money management issues. If you are out of work as a result of injuries you sustained, chances are a serious financial hit for you and your family. Chances are it is a serious financial hit for you and your family. It is imperative to sit down and create a new budget, removing all unnecessary costs. Your case may extend a long time, and you and your family should prepare accordingly. Many vultures are willing to lend you money in exchange for extremely high interest rates. We strongly discourage you from entering into an agreement with these organizations. Their financial goals are short-sighted, and their interest rates are outrageous. You are much better suited attempting to make ends meet with the income you are receiving. As a rule, your lawyer cannot legally or ethically give you and your family money. Unfortunately, the litigation process takes as long as it takes and requires discipline in how you address your family's financial circumstances. Make do with what you can until this storm passes. Number 9, should I file suit? Because insurance carriers are becoming more and more greedy, attorneys are often required to file suit to obtain funds. It should come as no surprise that insurance companies are greedy entities who do everything they can to protect their money. You should not feel ashamed or embarrassed about filing suit. You are simply standing up for yourself when an insurance company attempts to keep you from what is rightfully yours. If people quit filing suits, insurance companies would quit making payments. Punishment in the form of litigation costs is the only language insurance carriers speak, and filing suit against the person who caused these injuries may be your only option. You have a constitutional right to bring a claim against someone who caused injury to you. Any lawsuits you file will be directed against the person or business that caused the injuries from which you suffer. Insurance companies want you to feel guilty about filing a lawsuit against another community member. Hiding behind the insurance policyholder allows insurance companies to avoid doing the right thing. Filing a lawsuit is not personal. It is a business transaction and is constitutionally protected. You often must file a lawsuit to simply get what you deserve. As I've explained repeatedly throughout this guide, this is your lawsuit and not mine. However, in hiring an attorney, you must be aware that you may need to file suit in order to obtain a just result. As a rule, I allow an insurance carrier the opportunity to do the right thing and attempt to settle the case prior to filing suit. When an insurance carrier is not acting appropriately, I encourage you to file suit and begin with the litigation process. Number 10, how long will this process take? The Seventh Amendment to the United States Constitution provides a right to a civil jury trial. Unfortunately, costs and extreme delays jeopardize a citizen's right to a jury trial in civil cases. In Gallatin County, it is not uncommon for a jury trial to occur as long as 3 years after the lawsuit was filed. Litigation can be extremely expensive and long. Despite our best efforts as plaintiff's attorneys, insurance carriers and their defense counsel do everything they can to extend litigation as long as possible. The longer the insurance carrier holds the money, the more interest they gather on those funds. In addition, they can put more pressure on claimants to settle their cases for unsatisfactory amounts. It typically takes 24 months for a case to go to trial after the lawsuit is filed. As a result, there is no real motivation to file a lawsuit quickly, because the sooner the lawsuit is filed, the sooner it can reach its conclusion. Though there is a 3-year statute of limitation for bodily injury cases, it is common to file suit well in advance of the 3-year limit. The best advice I can give is hang in there and be as patient as possible with this process. As a rule, the longer litigation goes on, the more expensive it becomes. Depositions can cost as much as $10 per page. Experts can charge tens of thousands of dollars. However, these costs may be necessary to best present your case to a jury. As a rule, the longer litigation goes on, the more expensive it becomes. All these factors must be considered prior to filing suit. Sometimes the most expensive words you can say are, "It's about the principle." Deciding whether to file suit is a business decision that should be carefully analyzed. Number 11, I am worried about my deposition. What should I do? During the course of a lawsuit, it is likely that counsel for the insurance company will require your deposition. A deposition is a sworn statement. Every word said during a deposition is taken down by a court reporter and later printed into a transcript. Your testimony in a deposition has as much weight as sworn testimony in court. A deposition is the only opportunity the insurance company's attorney gets to speak with you. How you perform your deposition will be judged by the attorney taking the deposition and the insurance carrier responsible for paying the settlement or judgment. At our office, we take your deposition seriously. Prior to deposition, we take the time to ensure that you not only understand the process, but also know how you can dominate your deposition. After we prepare you, you will do well in your deposition. The insurance company's attorneys realize that people are scared when they give their depositions. The attorney taking your deposition is trained to feed on this fear and any guilt you may feel about the situation. While this is your life, it is a game to the opposing counsel. I typically spend between 6 and 8 hours preparing an individual for his or her deposition. During that time, we establish what I refer to as the major truths of the case. After this preparation process, almost every client has shown up to their deposition feeling confident, knowing they will do extremely well. One reason I am so careful about which cases I select is because I spend so much time on deposition preparation. A case is not worth taking unless I can commit myself and my staff to adequately preparing my client's deposition. Preparation is the key to overcoming nervousness in a deposition. Below is a checklist of what I like to see plaintiff's lawyers master prior to his or her deposition. Number 1, know your major truths down pat. Number 2, review all discovery documents your attorney has sent out and received. Number 3, be aware of the rules of the deposition. Number 4, only answer what you're asked. Number 5, be respectful but firm. You know the truth. Number 6, if you do not feel ready and confident to take your deposition that day, regardless of the reason, please let me know. We can cancel the deposition and move it to a different time. This is your deposition and nobody else's. Conclusion. I hope the information in this book and this tape is helpful. While I recognize that you probably have many more questions, I hope it provides some insight into the insurance claims process. Thank you again for taking the time to contact my law firm. And as always, please feel free to contact me, 406-587-3720, to discuss any further questions you might have.